Well, Greg told me some time ago that you have been doing a series of addresses on Sundays and in the evenings, on tough teaching, and tonight's reading would be John 10, 1 to 21. And I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to share with you some teaching on this text. It has some passages in it which are quite legendary. But before we get into the text and some of those passages, let me just try and ease us into the context of tonight's reading. It's basically about, and you probably won't see this from the back, but it's about sheep. And I brought along my brass sheep to show you. Some years ago, somebody gave me this in one of my first parishes, and it's a magnificent merino sheep in brass, and it sits looking at me in my study. So when I opened the reading for tonight, I immediately thought of my sheep. I'm going to ask Greg if he'll come over. This is I didn't warn him, but this is quite spontaneous. But Greg has had a lot of experience in rural parishes. What do you know about sheep?
You might want to stop the recording.
No, we want to know it all.
Well, sheep can be beautiful animals, but they can be the most stubborn, difficult, itchy, painful. If you've ever been hit by a sheep, sheep don't really have any sort of weapons. It's just pure bulk. And if you've ever been in a sort of a yard and you've had a wether decide that it wants to jump over something imaginary in front of you and then just land in your chest, then you would know it's quite painful. Yeah, but and getting them up a race can be interesting.
Excellent. Thank you. An expert with sheep. And this morning I've been to Sea Lake, which is about 228K northwest of Bendigo. And on the way home, as I often do, because I get sick of main roads, because I'm driving up and down them all the time, I turned off a road just before Charlton and thought, I think this is a reasonable detour around Charlton. And within about a kilometre of turning off, we ran into one of those sort of scenes you see on calendars of a farmer droving sheep along the road where you have to pull up and the sheep go around you, you just sit there. You would have had that experience northern New South Wales. And I thought, well, this is a message about tonight's reading on Christ as the Good Shepherd. The other thing that I thought I'd share with you is that a bishop, one of the titles of a bishop, going right back to the second century, is that of a shepherd. And you might think I'm dressed very strangely, but this is a good occasion to try and explain some of it to you. First of all, as a bishop, the sign of your office is a shepherd's crook. This is a fairly stylized one, I have to say, but it's like that because it comes apart and it's much easier for travelling. It in fact divides up into four pieces and it packages extraordinarily well. Except when you go through security at an airport, they always pull you out and say, have you got a gun in your bag there? But you carry a shepherd's crook as a sign and a symbol that you are there in the tradition of our Lord as the Good Shepherd. But it goes further than that, because I might be to you dressed quite strangely. But this white garment that I wear is to, in a sense, it's exactly the same as shepherds wore at the time of our Lord. It's an outer garment, very light, cotton, and being in the Middle East, an ideal garment. And then the red garment over the top is really for winter. It's an outer garment, and this particular one, as it was then, made of wool. Basic function, keep you warm. And see how it's sleeveless, gives you ease of access and movement, particularly if you're working with sheep. And then the red stole, and red is a symbol of confirmation, and the Holy Spirit, the red stole is again a working garment. In the days of our Lord, it was designed to get under a sheep's belly, pull them out of rocks or crevices. So what might look very decorative today was once in the time of our Lord, they were working garments of the Good Shepherd. And I wear them as a symbol tonight to say something to us about the nature and ministry of the Good Shepherd. Some years ago, in a little place called Fenton's Creek, which is between basically Wedderburn and St Arnold, and we still have one of those rare churches that you don't see all that often today, and this is a church that sits out in the middle of nowhere. There is absolutely nothing around it, no housing or anything, just a church in the edge of a wheat paddock. And I met a remarkable man there called Harold. He's 84. He was 84. Sadly, he has since died. And he told me that he had lived on this property his whole life. And here at the age of 81, when I first met him, he was still shepherding his sheep. And he said to me, "You won't believe this, Bishop, but I do know most of them by name." And I was very and deeply touched because it was in the most rickety old ute with water tanks on the back, because he said, "I go around my sheep every day and water them and make sure that neither fox nor eagle have got to me." But it was quite, again, a moving experience to meet in this day and age a real shepherd. Well, let's come back to the biblical passage that we heard read to us. And did you hear some of those very key verses? "I came that you may have life and have it to its fullest." Or in another translation it says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." And then, "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There is nothing that the good shepherd will not do to protect the sheep." And from verse 16, "So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Let us make no mistake, these words of Jesus, although they're couched in an agrarian language, they are relevant today as they were then. Jesus also notes of many in the crowd listening to him that they did not understand what he was saying to them. Well, let me tonight, in a small way, try and give us some understanding, particularly to Jenny, Catherine and Joe, of what Jesus was saying in these words about sheep and shepherds. What Jesus is saying to us is that we are like sheep. Greg said, sheep can be wonderful, but very frustrating. So it is with us as human beings. We are as vulnerable and as lost as any sheep can be. Life can toss us around. All sorts of things can happen to us. And so it was the same for the sheep. But the good shepherd is there to protect us. But more than that, he is there to give us life. His protection means that we live, and live life in abundance. And he will protect us to the point that even he might lose his own life. The good shepherd just doesn't care. The good shepherd will put his life on the line. Some years ago, I was in the United States, And I went and heard a really remarkable talk given by a man called Jerome Berryman, who won't mean anything to you. But he was a chaplain at the children's part of the Texas Medical Center in Houston. If any of you have ever been to Houston, you'll know that it's one of the largest hospitals in the world. And the children's, what they call the children's section, is a huge hospital in itself. And this man, Jerome Berryman, he had the remarkable ministry of ministering and working particularly with children and families, but children in particular, who were dying. And he told us what was the nature of his ministry. And in fact, he didn't just tell us, he actually did it with us. And he said, children absolutely love the stories of Jesus. And one of the stories they like most is the story of the Good Shepherd. So he said, you know what I do? I've had some figures of sheep and shepherds made. The sheep were a bit bigger than the sheep I showed you, and the figures of shepherd and that, and the hireling and thief, were a bit bigger again. But he said, I give the figures to the children, and as I tell the story, without any rehearsal or prompting, they start playing the figures and acting out the story. It's as though the story immediately and automatically impacts upon them. And invariably, the children always tell him at the end of the story that the Good Shepherd loves them. That the Good Shepherd will look after them. And although their parents are sitting there and crying and weeping and falling apart, the children are not. They feel this deep and abiding presence of Christ. They feel this sort of undergirding of Christ, even though they might be not far from death themselves. As I said, when Greg told me that this was part of a series on tough teaching, I've struggled to find what is tough about this passage. Perhaps it's tough because it does say something to us about our vulnerability. It does say something to us about how in life we might stumble like a sheep. But overwhelmingly, this passage is proclaiming the grace and love of God as expressed in His Son Jesus Christ. This passage powerfully is saying to us that God's love, as exemplified by Jesus, sustains us, upholds us, and is with us as we journey through our lives. There's a great Indian hymn writer called D.T. Niles, who you won't know, but he wrote a hymn sitting in the middle of a desert in India, surrounded by absolute sea of poverty, in the midst of which a small Christian community was trying to care for this enormous sea of people. And these are just a few lines from his hymn. The great love of God is revealed in the Son, who came to this earth to redeem everyone. It is yours, it is ours. Oh, how lavishly given. It's the pearl of great price and the treasure of heaven. To Jenny, Catherine, and Joe, and to all of us who are gathered here tonight, this pearl of great price, this treasure of heaven, is offered to us in Jesus Christ. Because it's through Christ that we indeed know the great love of God. And it's this great love of God that is revealed to us tonight in the image of the Good Shepherd. Jenny, Catherine and Joe will shortly come forward for what is the laying on of hands. And the laying on of hands, where I lay my hands upon their head, is an outward symbol or sign, again, of God's great blessing and love upon them. And it's a blessing that I hope thou not only feel in the warmth and gathering of this church tonight, but it will be the love of God that sustains them on life's journey in the days and years ahead. The Lord be with you and also with you.